This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everyone. Nick here. Back at the next preview show. We are all very, very happy. Don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your pals, bring a pal to back of the nest, as the old song used to say. And if you're listening to the pod, leave a like on that, leave a review on Spotify, all that sort of thing. Hope you enjoy the show this week. We are lucky enough to be joined by Chris Clark and Stan. I'll start with you, Stan. How happy are you, mate, after such a convincing performance against third division Man United?
I'm so happy. I'm not used to being as happy as a football fan. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. And just, you know, seeing that, you know, didn't only beat them, like, they got smoked. And seeing the reactions of their fans who live in the past and are clueless is even better. So, yeah, long may it continue, because these times don't really happen for us Palace fans. It's normally... Normally a bit less cheery, but yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Man United game in a little bit once we've said hello to Chris. Hello, Chris. You've been having problems with your background today, I hear.
Well, yeah, because my background is my domestic arrangements, and thankfully it's blurred so people can't see it. But at least not very well. But I have a full bin and other things that I need to deal with after we're recording. I've also got a cup that runneth over with joy after the last game, and I hope that Palace aren't going to do their usual thing and ruin it immediately afterwards. But yeah, we're used to that, aren't we, as Palace fans? But yeah, no, I mean, I'm really optimistic about the end of this season and looking forward to next already.
See, if I was you, I'd have said you're recording from your mate's house. But there you go.
I'll remember that for next time, but you know, for the record, this is my gaff.
Yeah, okay. Living the dream, living the dream. Okay, so we'll start off with a bit of news, and we might as well go with the awards that happened last night, Crystal Palace end of season awards. And I'll just go through them and ask for your comments. We'll take turns. So goal of the season, Stan, was the ludicrously good team goal against Liverpool, the one that Eze scored. Would that have been your pick?
You know, there are so many worldlies this year that it was difficult to choose one. I think from a team perspective, absolutely. But I think Elise, you know, that one against Luton for me was lovely, even though obviously it led to us losing. But that was a lovely goal. I think Eze scored a couple of absolute bangers as well. There's so many that you could just, yeah, like you, I think it was that or any one of them really was worthy of it. So yeah, great
indeed. Chris, have you been watching much of the under-18s, under-21s at all? Or have you just watched highlights and stuff?
I'm planning to go next week, but not seen as much as I'd like this season. I mean, hardly any this season, frankly, to be honest. I pay for the privilege of not watching all this stuff that I've got. Love it. Absolutely love it when I get the chance to watch it, but it doesn't happen enough.
So it'll be a bit wrong of me to ask you what your thoughts on Jesse Derry winning the under-18s player of the season then?
Yeah, I wouldn't come around to me on that one.
Given that he's been out injured a little bit, I think that to actually still get the player of the season is quite good. Now, the under-21 player of the season was Joe Whitworth, goalkeeper, who we actually saw in goals. Was it this season or the end of last season?
Last season.
Hey, hello, mate. How you doing?
Hey, man.
On time. We're just going through the end of season awards. Talk about Joe Whitworth. Have you seen much of the end of under-21s and how he's performed in goal?
I mean, judging from their record, I've seen a little bit of him. He's done pretty well, man. I mean, he's been pretty consistent. Thing that stands out to me, and once again, is his shot stopping and his distribution. So he's been pretty good.
Yeah, for a goalkeeper that hasn't got maybe as much height as other goalkeepers, he makes up for that, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and it's good to see him come through after the. I'm not sure if you'd have seen it, but Channel 4 did a documentary last year over several weeks of the Palace youth team, and Joe Whitworth featured quite heavily. PFA Community Champions were Amy Everett and Chris Richards. Well deserved. I know that Chris Richards has been doing a lot with the Palace for Life Foundation as well. And on that subject, Rishi Sunak, don't go there, please. Please stay out of our club. It's bad enough having Farage as a fan, but Sunak as well.
He was there yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Right. I think women's player of the season was Elise Hughes. Have you watched many of the women's games, any of you?
I've watched one or two. I think she's been one of the standout performers in that team. Like, she's been the. Hasn't she done her ACL?
I think she might have done.
Yeah, she's done her ACL, but she was there. Like, and that was, I think, towards the last game of the season or something like that. She's been the standout performer in that team for sure. I mean, they've all been great, but yeah.
Yeah, she sounded like she was getting goals by the ton too when she was healthy.
Yeah, it's amazing what the women's team have done. And the moment of the season, I'm not going to mention who sponsors that, was the Palace women securing promotion and breaking their attendance record. I'm sure that the attendance record will be broken again next season. Let's hope that plenty of games are played at Sellers rather than Sutton. I'm just wondering if the move away from the pitch at Bromley, which is the artificial pitch, to Sutton, helped us at all gaining that. Of course, Bromley will have to rip up their pitch now they've got promotion to League 2, so that was good. The women's players' player of the season was Sinead Hopcroft.
Mm-hmm.
The men's player of the season, JP. Is that one you'd have gone for, Chris?
I felt there's a bit of recency bias on that, although, you know, presumably the voting was done before Monday. At the end of the day, he's been now, for this season at least, our most successful striker of the Premier League era. Previously, I would have held on to saying that that's Glenn Murray. But it's really hard to argue with his record and the way that we've not had a striker who scored that many goals and faced forwards as opposed to just doing that thing that all of our strikers do of turning away and back to goal. We haven't had that in the Premier League era for us. 10 years without it. I think it would be really harsh to not deny it. I didn't vote that way because I felt it would have been recency bias, but he's continued to justify that vote. And I think if I was voting now, I probably would vote that way. So, yes, I think it's fair.
Who did you vote for?
Jefferson Lerma.
Yeah. Stan, you happy with JP getting player of the season?
I'm happy.
All by the fan.
He didn't get my vote, but I'm happy with it.
Who got your vote, Stan?
Tyrone Mitchell.
Yeah. See, but this is the thing. Everybody's done so well.
Yeah.
That they're all legitimate choices. See, who did you go for?
Joakim Andersen.
Same as me.
He's played every single match, I believe, this season. Has been captaining us for the past good five while
games.
Now.
Yeah, you five
know,
games.
I mean, I think my thing was, you know, it's kind of like the unsung hero type of vibe. You know, he very much represents stability within our squad. And kind of like that rock back there. But once again, fine with JP, would have been more than fine with Jefferson Lerma. You know, I don't think that there was necessarily a wrong choice in all of this.
I voted for Anderson, and the thing that swung it for me was his altercation with fans, which people I think read the wrong way, but to me it showed he cared. And the fact that he was the one speaking out against Hodgson, I think possibly accelerated Roy getting out of the club.
He was very frustrated, and he's a quality centre back. Like, he's a Rolls Royce of a centre back when he's on his day, right? And I think he was, as we all were, but I think he was very frustrated.
Yeah. And he was actually voted alongside JP as the men's players' player of the season. So he's obviously got a lot of respect from the team. Let's switch back to Monday. Manchester United. What were your thoughts before the game, T? Were you expecting us to do so well? I mean, I know we were bookies' favourites, which is unbelievable when you think we're playing Manchester United. But what were your thoughts going into it?
Here's my thing, man. From the preview show, I had us winning the match 3-1. So I was very confident in us
going into the match. Goal.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is I didn't expect us to exceed what I thought I was being, you know, kind of outlandish a little bit, you know, overly optimistic, but they outperformed that. So it's like, man, what can I say? But no, I fully expected us to go in and win that match, especially with the situation that they had with their center backs. Like, that was really one of the main things that made me think that we were going to go out and really put some big time pressure on them, along with them not having guys like Bruno Fernandes out there and Marcus Rashford. So not surprised by it, but extremely happy for it.
We played so well. Stan, what we got in the UK with pretty much just people saying how bad Man United were, not how well we played and how good we were. Was it that kind of skewed in Canada as well?
Yeah, I think who were the pundits here? It was Michael Owen and Paul Scholes were the two pundits. So that just goes to show you like how balanced it was. It was that. But I think there was, if you look on YouTube at like 442, they've got a YouTube channel and a couple of non mainstream guys. They were like, Palace wiped the floor with them. What made me laugh was the reaction of United fans that think that like they're going to rebuild their entire club in 6 weeks in the summer. They're getting rid of 15 players, apparently. They're all gone. You know, all these 15 players are paid like 250 grand a week. They've still got 4 years left on their contract. Someone apparently is going to buy them. And they're buying Eze and Elise. Apparently they're even going to renegotiate his release clause down. So it's going to be 30 million plus, what's it called? Plus Anthony Marshall or someone like that. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Honestly, I have friends who are United fans, and they said beforehand, they were like, please, can you go easy on us tonight? Which I couldn't believe. I did think we'd win. I had a good feeling. So please, can you go easy on us tonight? But they all live in the past. And one thing someone said to me, one of them said to me during the game, he was like, oh, this is terrible. Are you taking Wan-Bissaka back? I was like, no, we're not. No. He was like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, Munoz is clear of him at the moment. Like, we're not taking him back. We don't want him back. And he's like, yeah, you just couldn't understand why we wouldn't take him back. You know?
Imagine what he could do in a Glasner team, though, rather than a
there
Ten
is
Hag.
That, yes. There is that, yeah. When you play the graveyard, it's a little bit different. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I get the feeling that I could play well under Glasner. He's that good a manager. Chris, who was your man of the match against Man United?
I find it so hard because I think, to be honest, there were 11 good players on the pitch. And they were all...
This is why I asked you.
They were all wearing red and blue. I mean, I could literally just toss a coin 10 times and come up with different answers each time. I mean, obviously, it's only got two faces.
You've got a coin, it'll be head or tail.
I know we've got time to do the show. I'm struggling with that one. I'm just gonna go with Mateta because I just really enjoyed watching him play. And he led the line really effectively, did a job for us. What can you say?
Do you think, we've had lots of rumours about Olise going, that the latest one I heard was, man, who's Chelsea, was it? We're going to offer
Sterling.
Arm running T-Rex man when he runs. What's his name? Sterling. That they were going to offer Sterling to override the release clause.
All right, and what else are they going to offer? The buttons on their shirts?
I really don't know, Stan. But the thing is, Olise and Eze seem to be having the biggest bromance, bigger than it ever was. We've got a team that, I won't say they're overperforming. I'd say they're finally performing to their potential. There's a little bit of a difference there. So obviously financially we'll need to perhaps let go a couple of players in order to bring in more players in Glasner's image, because we've heard a few names bandied about. But would you be at all upset, T, if we had no transfer ingoings or outgoings in the summer? Just hypothetically.
So no ingoings, no outgoings?
Yeah, no incomings, no outgoings.
Hypothetically, I would be indifferent. I think it would be the word I would use. I wouldn't necessarily be upset. I wouldn't necessarily be happy. Because I do feel like there are areas that we could stand to look to improve on the squad. Maybe like some depth behind Tariq. Maybe some better cover at the back with our center backs. So there are some moves I would like to see us do. But at the same time, with the quality that we have in the squad right now, if I was to not see any of those guys leave, I would be very happy too. You know,
even Jeffrey,
man, even Jeffrey, I guess you could say, you know, I mean, if it's like, hey, you know, you keep guys like Eze, Olise, and Gehi, but you also have to keep Jeff, you know, you're going to take that deal. I'm taking that deal.
Yeah. And talking about ingoings and outgoings, there's been lots of rumors about Dougie Freeman. Being interviewed, having second interviews with Newcastle, being potentially interested in job, according to, is it Fabrizio Romano on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Pat, who can't be with us this week, unfortunately, had said, hang on, let's just bring him in for a bit. Can't turn it off. But according to Alan Nixon on Twitter, Dougie Freeman is happy at Palace and has not been offered another job. This is the curse of social media, isn't it, Stan? What rumours do you believe? Now, who's the best in the know, Romano or Nixon?
So Patrick is going to disagree with me here, but I think Nixon and Dougie are quite close. And I think, you know, like I said, they are quite close. I think he was annoyed that he didn't get the exclusive on the Glasner, and Fabrizio obviously broke that, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think he goes personally, okay? And if he does, I'll save my opinions for when he does rather than creating a, you know, rather than getting annoyed at it. I don't think he goes. I think there was a tweet months and months ago when Glasner first started. There was a guy that met him outside the ground and he said, "You're not going to Man United." He went, "Yeah, not a chance. Don't believe everything you read in the papers." And I don't know if he is what Newcastle need. Are they looking to pluck players from the lower leagues and turn them into global superstars? I don't think that's their model. I think they're looking for like solid players out of Europe or solid players out of the Premier League teams and to bring them in, right? So I don't know if they're, I don't know if he's what they need, but we'll see.
With all this positivity about, we haven't even got onto Wolves yet. But I just want to say one more thing. Hopefully D will be returning with more of his live Palace news reports that he does. Well, I have been missing those because they really are the best way to keep up with Palace news. D, mm-hmm. D does know his stuff. But just a quick question for you, Chris. How much is Paddy going to be learning under Glasner? How much is that going to help him going forward as a manager? Do you think he'll take much away from it?
Well, certainly in education, isn't it? I mean, and a completely different style than what we've seen in under previous managers. I mean, I say previous managers, we've now had, he's been in post under two previous managers in three different spells. So he's seen the way that Vieira's done things. He's seen the way that Hodgson's done things on two separate occasions. And already Glasner's getting a tune out of them and a completely different tune with a completely different style in weeks. So I think what it does underline is that if you've got an idea and a vision and you want to try and push it through, you can do it. It may well go massively wrong. In this case, it has done the opposite of that. We've seen previous managers try and do that and it not work so well. You know, obviously, I'm thinking of Frank de Boer when we say that, and that's not a remotely a fair comparison in some respects, because, but it's worth saying Frank de Boer had a pre-season, which Glasner hasn't had. He's come in to a working team and has completely changed the way it's played in weeks and it's worked. So, yes, Paddy should pick up some lessons from that. I don't know, you know, what Paddy's aspirations are and where he may want to go in the future, but he's definitely, you know, if he's not learning from this, then he's never going to learn.
Yeah, and it was interesting under Vieira how the under, when he was managing the under 21s or under 18s, how the both teams set out similarly. Can I say similarly? Yeah, similarly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like each other. And one last quick question to Stan. With the whole de Boer thing and our chairman or co-chairman, Steve Parrish, I think he got his fingers burnt a bit there.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening now and the whole looking forward and trying to build a project? Seeing first unlike Parrish, am I being unfair, Stan?
I think you're right. But I think the fans are out for his blood a little bit. Let's be real. Like the fact, you know, a lot of us were unhappy. And I think if he doesn't give this his best shot and make it work, I think, you know, a lot of people will come back and be unhappy. I will say in Frank de Boer's defence, he was trying to play a similar system with Scott Dann and Martin Kelly. So that was the personnel he had at his, that he had
you,
to work
you
with.
You could say the same though, Stan, about Joel Ward and Nathaniel Klein.
You could. I've always rated Klein, to be fair. I've always liked him because he's been very versatile over the years. And you don't play for Liverpool in England as much as he did without being a very, very good footballer. Injuries obviously caught up with him. And I think that, you know, if the club's going to progress, we need a project like this and we need to take a bit of a risk and we need a manager to come in and, you know, try and implement something a little bit different because these, you know, I don't know. I don't want to sound ageist here, but these old boys on the managerial merry-go-round, they've had their day, I think.
Yeah, and it was good that we actually got out of that whole Allardyce and Warnock.
The one thing I will say is we're lucky that the board went and got him when they did because we wouldn't have got him in the summer. Look at the jobs that are up now. He'd have got a bigger job than Palace, you know? So the board, we're lucky that the board went and got him when they did.
Now, looking forward to the Wolves game, when Glasner took over, we were 5 points off the relegation zone. And there was always a bit of a gap in the league between 14th and 13th or 12th.
Mm-hmm.
We've now moved 17 points away from the relegation zone. And actually, if we can beat Wolves, we will leapfrog them. Is this going to happen, T?
I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say yes. I mean, our form, the way that we have a real full understanding of how Glasner wants us to play, I'm actually really, really impressed by how fast they've really been able to get it. I mean, I think those 3 weeks in Marbella, or, you know, 3 week break in that time in Marbella really made a huge difference for us with understanding the philosophy and playing the way that he wants us to. So, I don't know, man. I think right now we're just riding the wave of good football, man. And I can see us just going up there and doing what we need to do.
Yeah, it's exciting wondering what we're going to get out of a full season. Now, Wolves are a bit of a funny side. They're either really good or not very good.
I'm like quite a lot of the teams. I think we beat them 3-2 earlier in the season. Is it 3-2, Chris? At home?
Bloody hell. You ask me. I mean, you know how much I drink when I'm at games. I mean, I seem to remember us winning that one, it being one of the only ones we won at that stage of the season.
Better than September. It was a Sunday game. Can you even remember who scored?
It was 3-2.
Eze and Eddie.
Yeah.
Eze and Edwards.
Yeah. Two goals.
Yeah, French Eddie scored two. And Shan scored for Wolves. Now, he was one of the players that Wolves have got that I was a little bit worried about. But looking at their injury list is a doubtful. Craig Dawson, thank goodness, is out. And Neto is out. Neto is a pretty good player. Now, Wolves have scored a couple more goals than us this season. Or the statistical comparison of whoscored.com lineup this is rather than what they've actually scored. It's interesting to see how low some of the Palace players' ratings are given the whole season we've had. It'd be interesting to see what the ratings are for the last five or six games. But when you got Mateta there on a 6.76 rating, that is way too low for what he's doing. What I'm liking about us is our goals could come from anywhere. Now, Wolves, I think their biggest threat is going to be Kuna. Is that pronounced right?
Mm-hmm.
And Semedo up the wing. Now, who was the other wing, the winger that they had? Matt somebody, wasn't it? Who was really good?
Pedro Neto?
Yeah, no, they had a wing back.
Sarabia? Pablo Sarabia?
Yeah, he was having a
bit of
a...
Bueno?
It might have been. But I'm thinking about Villa, not Wolves.
Okay, because against us, they started Neto at left mid, Sarabia at right mid.
Joao Gomez.
Ike Norris at left wing and Semedo's at left back and Semedo's at right back.
Mario Lamina.
Yeah, Cunha and Silva started up top. Lamina and Gomez was central mid. Wang Yi-Chan came on and scored that goal off the bench, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Question for you, Stan. When do you reckon the first time we ever played Wolves was? What year?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Depends. What are we going by? 1851 or
1905, you mean?
1905, yeah.
Yeah. 7:05, the one I've got on lots of my shirts. Apparently, I've got to...
Yeah.
Hold my hand over it to show right. The...
When do we first play them? 1910?
What do you reckon, T?
Man, shot in the dark, 1917.
And Chris, I think you might have been asked this on the original preview pod for the home game.
Yeah, and I still can't remember. 24?
It was 1909. And given that Palace then were only 4 years old and a non-league team, big shock that we went away to Wolves and we drew 2-2 with them. And then we beat them in the replay in the FA Cup 4-2. Our third league game against them was 1921, where we won 1-0 away. Our last five results against Wolves, just scrolling down my screen here. So this season we won a game. Last season we won one and lost one. The season before we won both. And the season before that, we lost to them in the FA Cup. Do we think they'll be on the beach more than Palace, T? Because, you know, we've got a manager who says he wants to win every single game. Wolves, will they still have the impetus or will they be on the beach, do you think?
I mean, I think they'll be up for the match. I don't think they'll be, just completely, like you said, on the beach. I know that we're not. I don't think that you're going to see that out of us at all for the rest of the season, because I think with the type of manager the OG is, he wants us to continue to build up build up. You know, even when we get into preseason in the summer, I think he wants us to still be at the races, really building for what's to come in the next season. So I wouldn't expect us to be unfocused at all. So I definitely think we'll be there more, for sure.
Excellent. What are you thinking, Chris? Is it going to be straight out the blocks like we were against Man United, put that pressure on straight away?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's scope for Glasner to adjust, but he doesn't need to with this. We've only got 2 games left, and then they've got a nice big rest. He's setting out his stall and setting his expectations and making those very clear to the players. They need to fit in with his style, and so far they've risen to the challenge superbly. So I'm really optimistic about this one. I mean, looking at Wolves, they beat Luton, but then they got absolutely stuffed by City. We didn't get stuffed by City. So I'm really optimistic about this. And incidentally, just a minor correction. I think you said earlier that they'd scored more goals than us. They've scored the same number of goals. They've just conceded
more.
So their goal difference is worse because of that rather than because they scored.
And that's how we can go ahead of them if we win, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think we will.
Yeah. Now, looking at the Wolves lineup on who scored, they set up a very similar way to us. Does that mean, Stan, that they might nullify each other? Will we have to look at playing slightly differently? I know we played differently in every game and focusing on weaknesses in the opposition. Do you think we'll set up any differently?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a need to either, because I think, you know, they had their sort of like uptake in form a couple of games ago. They've sort of petered out now. I think we're still there. I do think that man for man, our team is better than theirs. So yeah, I don't think we'll need to.
Starting at the back, we've got Gay, well, we don't know if he's starting. Gay returned to first team action against Manchester United. And I really, really felt sorry for Kleiny because he'd done nothing wrong in that game. And he's not really done anything wrong in the last few games. Who are you starting, T, given that Mark Gay really wants to get into the England squad?
Man, that's a really good question. If it were me, I probably would keep Kleiny there for now and maybe just give Mark more minutes than he had in the past match, which to OG's credit has been something that he's done. He's kind of, it hasn't been a slow process necessarily, but he's kind of eased guys back as far as, you know, ramping up their minutes, similar to what he did with Elise coming back from injury. So I could see him, possibly going ahead and starting Klein at right center back and maybe bringing Gehi on in more like the 60th minute, maybe. Give him like maybe a full 30 plus minutes. And then maybe after this match, possibly that last match of the year against Villa, we'll see Gehi get the start. But I don't see why he would change anything other than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Are you going for same starting lineup, Stan?
You know, I would start Gay because I think he needs some minutes before the Euros. And I want to see him actually play a significant period of time in this Glasner, a significant like period of the game in this Glasner system to see how he looks as well. And also probably to put him in a shop window a bit, because from the rumours are that he's not going to sign another contract. And we apparently want north of 70 million for him. So put him in the shop window and hopefully someone pays it.
Yeah, that's just more evidence of the brilliant job that Dougie's doing getting players in, isn't it? I mean, look at what the media in England especially are saying about Wharton and how perhaps he should be going instead. Is it Manu? I can never get these pronunciations right, Man United. Who I didn't realise was on the pitch the other day. It's mad, isn't it?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Right, we've been rattling on for too long. I'm going to whiz through and get some score predictions from you. I'm going to start with you, Chris. What do you think the score will be on Saturday?
2-0 Palace.
Positive, T?
3-0 Palace.
3-0 Palace. And Stan?
I was going to go 3-0, but we've had 2, so probably have to go 4 now. So 4-0 Palace.
Mm.
Right.
Have you ever seen Palace score 5 away from home? I have against Reading many years ago.
No. I say away from home? No, I know we put 5 on Liverpool on Leicester.
That West Brom. We put 5 on. We put 5 away at West Brom during COVID. I've not seen it in person personally, but yeah, we beat West Brom in COVID season 5-1. I will say though, all jokes aside, it's a really important game. It's a really, really important game because you can't go and beat Man United 4-0 and then not follow up with a victory. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 doesn't matter, but it's a really, really, really important game. And I really hope that we're up for it and we continue this positive trajectory as long as we can.
100%. What's interesting is all three of you have us conceding no goals, which is good. That wouldn't have happened earlier on in the season. So I'm going to go for a 3-1 Palace just to upset that and make a different score. But it's very, very rare for all the panellists on a preview show to be so positive. Long may that continue. I'm going to remind you, if you're watching on YouTube, smash the like and subscribe. Tell your friends. On the pod, you can like, we could share it with your mates on Twitter or whatever. So if you don't like our ugly mugs, you can just listen to us. any last thoughts before we leave? We leave our lovely viewers and listeners, T, Stan, Chris?
A quick one. So Brighton have three games left this season. They play Newcastle, they play Chelsea, they play Man U. Lose all three of those, we win both of ours, and we finish above them.
Yeah, but they're playing Man U.
I'll take that. It does matter. It absolutely matters. Mind
it matters. It does matter.
And then let's finish above the next season as well.
It does matter, but they're playing Man U, so they're going to win at least one of those games.
Yeah, who knows?
And, I saw a picture that their ground was empty the other day, wasn't it? Half empty?
Yeah, well, there were other teams' games.
Oh, yeah, Chelsea were playing, weren't they? Anyway, that's enough for us. Thanks ever so much, everybody, for joining us. There will be a match review show about half hour after the Wolves game ends. I'm not sure who's presenting that. Hopefully D will be able to do that. And that's good. It's interactive. You can call into that show. But that's it really. So thanks everyone. Up the Palace.
Out the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.